We're going to spend some time now to explore what God, through His Word, has to say about prayer. Now, it is the fourth message in our summer short series, and it should be obvious to you, I hope, that prayer is a much larger topic and one that can't be exhausted in a single sermon. The Bible says much about prayer and the place that it can have in our lives and should have in our lives, but this morning's message is limited, of course. It's about how prayer sits in and among the other topics of our series, and hopefully you'll see some of the connections that I'm making, and you will see how it connects to some of the other things that we've talked about. In this sermon, we're going to push just a little bit further. We're going to push further into what God says about joy in His presence and holding anxiety at bay. How does prayer connect to that for us? But before we read our text from the Bible, let's bow briefly before God as usual to ask Him to give us clear minds, attentive spirits, and obedient hearts. Let us pray. Father, your word to us is real and it's active and it's going to take root if we treasure it. So, Father, place it in our hearts and our minds and help us to put as much value on your word to us as we place on other things that are dear to us. And then speak to us, Father, that it may not just hang in this space, but it may go with us when we leave this place. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So we read from Philippians 4 this morning, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, if you're thinking this morning, this passage that we're reading is familiar. Hasn't the pastor already used those verses? So when is he going to stop using those verses? Well, you're right. I am glad that you noticed that we have used these verses before. I'm glad that you're paying attention. Now, and if it bothers you to be reading the same verse week after week, or if this bores you, then let me also point us to another passage that echoes these words that we have just read in Philippians. They're from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, which says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It sounds surprisingly to that passage from Philippians, doesn't it? Now, this is not surprising in a way, because it is the Apostle Paul, of course, that writes both that letter to the church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica. The fact that he does so, that he repeats these same thoughts, should cause us to take notice. It is obviously a message that God laid on his heart and that God wants his people to hear. Now, I use our passage again, not just for the sake of hearing it again, but for the sake of going beyond, of going deeper. of getting a little bit more focused on something particular in the text. Remember that we started with God's offer to all of us of joy. God wants us to experience joy. How often does our faith become duty and drudgery? That's not what God wants you. He wants you to be a people that when you walk into the first church, you will have that experience of feeling, wow, there's something different about these people. They're happy. They're happy to be here. Now, when I look at you, I'm not entirely sure, but and that's what's so beautiful then about the dancing that happens in Nigerian churches. It's hard to dance and not be happy. We then heard about God's promise to us that He will be with us, His presence. And then last week we heard about the ongoing reality of anxiety. Even in the life of Christians, people worry, people are anxious about stuff. And all of this, I think, is reflected in our passage. But today we hone in on another part of the passage, namely prayer. In everything, by prayer and petition, says Paul, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer is God's desire for us. What does God want? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, God wants us to pray. Why does He want us to pray? Well, why do you want your kids to talk to you? Why do you want your spouse to talk to you? Why do you want to go out and meet your friends so you can talk with them? Why would God want us to pray? Because He wants to hear from us. He wants to talk with us. Prayer is God's desire for us. Prayer is the way to grow the kind of intimate relationship that He wants for us is people. So think about prayer that way. It can be intimidating for us to be asked to pray, and we get all formal and we write things down, and a part of that is just nerves. But you don't feel that, do you, when you go and meet your friends and have beer and wings or whatever it is that you do? You simply talk and you have a good time and you're revived and you're excited and the conversation just flows. If you can think about prayer, if you can conceive of prayer that way, then all of us should want to be up here and say, Pastor, can I pray next? Can I pray next Sunday? Can I pray? Is that going to happen? Now, I struggled in preparing for this sermon. I struggled with just how to present what the Bible says. How to say what it says. How to say all that it says. Because there is a lot here in a few words. And I was stumped until I noticed the importance of the small words in the text. Did you notice the small words in these verses? This verse, rather. It's easy to read over those small words in our eagerness to get to the big words and the big ideas, but it is those small words that set up the big ideas in our text. In everything, says Paul, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and then he slips in another one of those small words in the last phrase, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pastor Valentine reminded us that when people struggle in Nigeria, they make a beeline for the office and lay all their complaints and all their troubles before God. Present your requests to who? To Pastor Valentine. He'll take care of all your problems. Now, present them to God, first of all. in, by, with, to, small words with big consequences. Let's look at each one of these words and try to understand why God places such great importance on prayer for his people. So first of all, in everything. So pray to God. Pray to God on Sunday when you're serving elder. Before your meals, pray to God. When you have guests because you want them to think well of you, that's when you should pray. Normally you don't pray for your meal, but whatever. We have guests, so children, just pretend we always do this. When you're in trouble, that's when you need God's ear. God! When you're feeling down, is that when you pray? Well, yes, but no. In everything. In all things, at all times, happy, sad, mad, or glad, when you're busy and when you're calm, when you're at work and when you're on vacation, those of you who may be listening along on our live stream, when you're on vacation, you still pray. Still talk to God. God is still, he would like to meet you in a state of relaxed kind of being rather than your usual. When you're tempted, pray. And when you're triumphant, pray. I remember I didn't have enough support when I was working in Nigeria, and I prayed, God, please have more people support me, have more people contribute some money so that I can continue in my work here. And then the support increased, and then I was above even what I needed to collect, and then I stopped praying. I didn't bother to thank God, even though I had petitioned him. It didn't quite work that way until I caught myself. When you're on an icy road, when a freak winter storm hits, pray. And on a warm summer cruise on the lake in a boat. How many of you think to pray? Say, God, you're so good. Wow, this is amazing. When you're petrified and when you're partying. When you're up and when you're down. When in everything. No job too big, no concern too small. He reigns over all. It is important to see here that in everything sits in perfect counter to the first part of the verse. Be anxious for nothing, and in everything pray. You see, I think Paul is setting up something here. And that's why I think it's so important that we use this word. Some translations like switch the words around and it loses some of the meaning, the depth. Be anxious for nothing, and in everything pray. Present your request to God. Are the worries of the world overwhelming you? Give it to God. Is pain or grief or anger or frustration or fear paralyzing or embittering you? See, sometimes I get into pastoral situations and people finally break down and there's some stuff in their hearts that they've always been afraid to say, and sometimes they break down and they cry or they get angry or they even use a word that they normally wouldn't use. They might even let go a swear word. And then they look down and they say, I'm sorry, Pastor. And what I usually say to them is, have you ever said this to God? Oh, I couldn't say that to God. Maybe you should. He's heard it all. And there's nothing that you're going to say that he's going to think, oh, I can't talk to you anymore. Give it to God. God wants to hear the whole of you. Sharing our everything with God and withholding nothing turns our anxiety into joy. This is the power of prayer. But how do we do that? Share everything, give it all to God. Well, by prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. I don't think that these two words are used here by way of repetition to drive home the fact that we should pray. No, the fact that there are two words here suggests that there is a distinction between these two things. They are different somehow. Remember how the verse in Thessalonians put it? Pray continually. Some Bibles say pray without ceasing. Now, if you're married, you've probably heard of a honey-do list. Honey-do list, anyone? Yeah. Now, I've got two left hands, and so the honey-do list is very intimidating to me. Now, imagine if your spouse, the only time they communicated with you is when they yanked out the honey-do list. That's the only time they talk to you. Honey, do this. Honey, I need this. Honey, do. Honey, the garage. Honey, the basement. Honey, the lights. Honey, the. Imagine if the only conversation you have occurs to fix some problems, pay some bill, or complete some task. Now, divorcees often function like this. They talk only when something is needed for the kids. Or think of a complaint department in a big store. I think it's a bit of a thankless job. I where the only interaction is processing problems. What a welcome change to have a conversation that doesn't involve a complaint. The way praying continually makes sense is recognizing the difference between prayer and petition. See, prayer is about conversation, sharing what happened that day. Talking about hopes and dreams, laughing together, listening to each other, sitting in a tent of silence, throwing out ideas, taking an interest, asking, exploring, learning, communication. You know, the first week that Anna Marie was gone, she stayed a little bit longer in the Netherlands. I was in my glory. I'm the boss in the house. Hey. Second week, I'm thinking, it's kind of quiet around here. Third week, I'm thinking, I miss her. I would come home and it would just be those walls staring back at me. Talking together is the stuff of relationship. Petition, on the other hand, is about requests or sometimes even protests. Does God ever ask you, why don't we talk anymore? You say, well, what do I mean? I just presented you my list yesterday. And God says all of our conversation lately is request. All I ever hear is what you don't like. You're not sharing yourself anymore. You're merely having me sign off things on your list of petitions. God calls us to share our everything by prayer and petition. Think about your prayer life. What are the things you're giving to God? A spiritual version of honey-do? Or do you offer God a running conversation, letting Him peek into the deepest part of your soul? Are you allowing your spirit to meld with His? That's really what prayer is about. prayer, petition. God longs for conversation. And yes, this may include your requests and even your protests. This is what builds relationships. But wait, there is more. In everything and by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, says Paul. Prayer, petition, and praise. Three P's. I use the word praise here as a specific type of thanksgiving. Yes, it is good to give thanks to God for all He does. God is provider. He knows our every need. He created a world that can meet our every need, and He puts us in a community where the needs of some can be met by the gifts of others. But, people of God, don't let your thanksgiving stop at thanking God for what He can give you. Thank Him for what He gives, yes, but beware of the tendency to treat Him as a heavenly ATM machine, where we bank our good deeds and draw on it whenever we're in need. One way to avoid this tendency is to let your thanksgiving spill over into praise. You see, praise is thanking God for who He is rather than only thanking Him for what He has done for you. Praise is to fall in love with Him again. Praise is recognizing His beauty and gazing on His glory. It is being proud of who He is and being struck again how lucky you are to be with Him. He has chosen you. He's with you. Praise is the kind of thanksgiving that goes beyond how does it benefit me to how marvelous is He. Think again about the people in your life for a moment. Because sometimes this becomes more real when we talk about God. Sometimes we don't see God, and so it's abstract. But think about the people in your life for a moment. How easy it is to take them for granted. To merely appreciate them for what they do and how they enrich your life, but to forget to see them as creations of God's hand. Gifted, beautiful people, unique, valued by God, precious. When our thanksgiving goes deeper, it turns into praise. If you are struggling with someone, if you're in a difficult relationship, if there's something that annoys you about someone, try this. Pray for them. And tell yourself, this person is loved by God. God thinks this person is awesome, and he wants to put His arms around this person that annoys me so. And when you remind yourself of that, you will start to notice that there are some good things about this person. And when you start to give this person value as God gives this person value, you will start to pray differently about that person. You will start to see that person differently. And you will start to relate to that person differently. Something happens that all your prayers to God, yes, even your petitions, be soaked in praise. And you will see your faith grow like a well-watered garden. And that brings us to the right object of our prayers. It seems obvious in a way, but the Bible instructs us in everything to present your request to God. To present our request to God. How easy it is to put our hope in everything but God. Take that person again that annoys you. You come home and you say, do you know what this person and you spout off to your spouse, and you create that same kind of negative stuff in the people around you. Now, what if you were just to check yourself And what if you would just say, okay, let me not have this conversation, let me not spoil the people around me, but let me say these things to God, who loves this person as he loves me. I wonder if I'm as annoying as that person is to God. Try it. Sometimes we try all we can, and when we're exhausted, it is then that we turn to God. In desperation is a last resort. If nothing else works, we can always turn to God. Allow yourself for a moment to stare at this phrase. Look at it for a moment. Let it just sit there. Present your requests to God. What do you see? Just do that right now. It's behind me there. What do you see? Let the word sit and soak. Let the Spirit just kind of speak to you. Where are your thoughts going? Are there any scriptures, other scriptures that come to mind when you look at these words? When I did this, I noticed anew the word present. Present. A gift. Prayer is a gift of God. Prayer is a gift to God. And a gift is what we freely give, not compelled like the prescribed gifts on a wedding registry, but a gift that we present to God. Not sent by UPS, not ordered on Amazon and forwarded to heaven. Not click on this link and to receive your gift. But the way the Bible puts this is you walking into the throne room of God to present him your gift of prayer. Your request, your prayer, your petition, your praise, words spoken in his presence. Isn't it interesting how close the word presence is to present? Present. Presence. Words spoken in his presence. God's full attention is on you, his child, at any time, in any need, wherever you are and however you say it. God will not dismiss. He will not diss. You may have been hurt by a friend, a parent, a pastor, by the police, by the church. You may carry hurt with you, and you may find it difficult to trust. This may have made you nervous to offer yourself open to people again. So you hide behind a mask. You hide online. You keep others at distance. Well, I'm here to tell you that the best place to present yourself, your needs, your desires, your hopes, your dreams is in the presence of the one who is both Almighty God and Heavenly Loving Father. He hears you when you pray. And then, when you present yourself to God without holding back, well, then, verse 7. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Taking the time to pray, petition and praise, don't ask me how exactly, protects us and provides us with peace. And note that this is in Christ Jesus. The kind of peace you seek happens only when you give yourself completely to the one who gave himself completely for you. We seek coaches, we seek mentors, we seek gurus nowadays. Stop it. He's the only one that can give you what you need to that peace. It's Jesus. Now, I tried to end my sermon here, but I simply couldn't do it. Not without also pointing to the last two verses. Finally, says our text in verse 8, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. What's the point of that? How does this relate to prayer, you ask? Well, simply that it matters what you fill your mind with. I had someone once make a complaint to me. This was actually in Nigeria. They said, Pastor, I need a new Mercedes. And I've been praying to God for a year. I've been praying for 2 years. And He still hasn't given me a Mercedes. Is that what occupies your mind? Or is that the desire of your heart? To have the nicest car in the block? When you pray, it is a reflection of what's in your mind. Joy, anxiety, your sense of presence of God, all of it is affected by what lives in you, and what lives in you is what you spend your time doing and consuming and watching and listening. What is occupying your thoughts? Your mind, because it will affect what you pray for. And what you pray about. What do you present to God? Is what you ask of Him worthy of the request? Does it lead to your growth and wholeness, or will it merely add to your distractions, some other toy in your life that will keep you from meeting with God? Does what you pray for lead you into His presence or away from His presence? Does it feed your anxiety, or does it grow your joy? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Now, that verse, if you just let it sit, how many of you would be comfortable saying this to the person sitting next to you?